Scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for the wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For the narrow is the gate, and straitened is the way that leadeth unto life, and fewer they that find it.
Good evening. I'll admit it seems like an alternate universe when he's leading singing, I'm preaching. Seems kind of strange. But Mickey asked me if I'd bring the lesson tonight, and it was one of those moments when he called, and I just happened to be thinking about some scriptural matters. And I don't know if you like to take walks, but it stimulates your brain sometimes. And I was thinking about some spiritual things while I was walking, and I talked to Mickey and got the opportunity to bring those thoughts to you. I handed these out, left some on the back counter if anybody got some. I don't have a PowerPoint tonight up here, so I guess I can close this now, huh? But I want to talk about the many and the few that we read about that Rick just read here in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13 and 14. As you can see, I wrote a few of my thoughts down. Near the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he introduces this concept of the many and the few. And it's in reference to our chosen path of life. Now, Jesus is obviously making reference to the path that we choose. We're not predetermined to take any particular path. We choose the path that we want to make. Christ commands us to enter through the narrow gate. And then he contrasts the ways of life, noting that many will choose the wide gate and the broad way that leads to destruction and will enter through it. And then noting that a few will choose the small gate, the narrow way that leads to life. But you'll notice that Jesus doesn't say that he'll enter through it. What Jesus says is there are few who find it. And I thought this is an interesting passage because it's the contrast between the many and the few. Few are going to find it. Well, who are going to find something are those who are looking for it. Those who are searching are those who are going to find. Those who aren't searching aren't going to find anything. If you're not searching after truth, you'll never find it. There will be nobody accidentally in heaven. Nobody accidentally gets to heaven. It has to be something that you're pursuing, something you're in pursuit of the truth. You find the truth, and that leads you to heaven. The main difference between the path of the many and the few is that the few are actually searching for the right path. And then we read just prior to this verse, back in Matthew 7, 7 and 8, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." This is a guarantee. This is the Lord of the universe telling us that all you have to do is search after the truth, and he'll make sure you find it. There are a lot of people who claim to be searching after truth, and they're not. They're not searching after it, or they would find it. Because a lot of people are willing to settle for something that appears to be the truth, but is actually false. The theme of the many and the few continues through the rest of the sermon. You'll notice in verse 15, Jesus warns people of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. He explains in verse 16 that you will know them by their fruits. And then in Matthew 24, verse 11, Jesus warns that many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. We learn here that the many are represented not only by the false prophets, but also by those who follow them. And then Peter adds in 2 Peter 2, 1, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you." Now, there are still false prophets today, but we are much more abundantly filled with false teaching. People that don't claim to be prophets, but they are following false teachers, and they are themselves false teachers. It's apparent that those few are those who recognize them by their fruits. Jesus told you and me in this very passage, you'll know them by their fruits. And that we're not going to be deceived by them. Jesus then takes us to the scene of final judgment. And anybody who's heard me preach before knows this is my favorite passage. I don't know if you're supposed to have one, but Matthew 7:21 has got to be my favorite verse. And that's because it boils it all down in one passage, one verse of Scripture. Who's going to hell and who's going to heaven? "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." Jesus boiled it all down to the very nuts and bolts. This is where the rubber meets the road, as the expression goes. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Well, it's clear from this passage that it's not what you say that gets you into heaven, but what you do. It's not what we claim. It's what we do and by whose authority we do it. We understand here that only the obedient will be saved. Jesus said, those who do the will of my Father. That's who's going to enter. Who's going to heaven? Those who do the will of the Father. Who's not going to heaven? Those who don't. Plain and simple. Not difficult to understand at all. After hearing this testimony of Jesus, the conclusion is inescapable that on Judgment Day there will be many who stand before the judgment seat of Christ who believed beyond doubt that they were saved, and yet they're lost. There will be many who call Jesus Lord who will be lost. There will be many who call themselves Christians who will be lost. This is kind of a scary passage when you stop and think about it, because that's me. I'm claiming to be a Christian. I'm claiming to be saved. I'm claiming to follow after Christ. I'm claiming to do things by His authority. Who are these people that are going to be lost, that are going to be claimed to be Christians? He explains. Jesus explains that many will make the claim that they performed the very same works that Jesus did on the earth, prophesying, casting out demons, performing many miracles, and did so in His name. And yet Jesus will respond, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These are the many who acted without law, lawlessness, without law, without divine authority, but rather on their own authority, or on the authority of a false teacher or a false prophet. These are people who acted based on false information. They believed something to be true that was false. Note what Jesus said to the Pharisees and the scribes who did the same in Matthew 15. Jesus said, you hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. This passage in Matthew 15 is very enlightening because it tells you what separates Christians from all the other religions of the world. We can include the many with all those who forsake the pure doctrine of Christ for the many doctrines of men. There's only one doctrine of Christ. There are many doctrines of men. After all, what separates a Christian from a Baptist? But the Baptist manual. What separates a Christian from a Methodist? But the Methodist handbook. And you can go on down the list. You can ask the same question of all the so-called Christian denominations, whether they be Catholic or Protestant or any of the variations of those groups. Those who follow their entirely different gospels, like the Book of Mormon or Jehovah's Witnesses' New World Translation, the Quran, the various holy books of the Hindus and the Buddhists, the answer is always the same. What separates a Christian from those people? The words of men. That's what separates. A Christian follows the words of God. You'll notice that followers of Christ are followers of the Bible. Followers of Christ are believers of the Bible, and only the Bible. Many are claiming to teach and practice in His name or by the authority of God, and yet they cannot provide a thus says the Lord, book, chapter, and verse for what they believe, or what they practice, or what they teach. They need to find the exact scripture, the authority of the divinely inspired scripture. Paul warned the churches of Galatia in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. Well, that includes all the lists that I just gave you and a lot more of doctrines of men that do not agree with what Paul taught. Paul was teaching the pure gospel of Christ. Back to Matthew 7:23, it's interesting to note the four words uttered by Jesus to the many. I never knew you. This simple phrase speaks volumes in that those who are lost are those who don't know Him. Conversely, those who are saved are those who do know Him. And we learn in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. It's a simple matter of hypocrisy. John is calling the same thing that Jesus called. You can't say one thing and walk a different way. If you're going to walk the walk, you've got to talk the talk and vice versa. Hypocrites will not go to heaven. The knowledge of God and of His beloved Son are here conditioned upon whether or not we keep His commandments. You'll notice that when John says, by this we know that we've come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. That little teeny word, if, as Mickey's pointed out many times, it might be a tiny little word, but it's huge. Because the word if means there's a condition attached. We know that we've come to know Him if we keep His commandments. If you're not keeping His commandments, you don't even know Him. And if I'm not keeping His commandments, I don't even know Him. That will place us with the many on Judgment Day. We don't want to be in that group. We want to know Him. How do you know Him? You've got to put your nose in the book. It's the only way. You know, I say that conditionally because blind people can be saved. You don't have to read the book. You can hear it. You've got to have God's Word. God's Word is what saves. God's Word is what leads us to heaven. Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount with these words. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And again, Jesus contrasts the results of gospel preaching on the many and the few. As the few are represented by those who hear the words of Christ and are prompted to act. You hear and you're prompted to act. There's something inside of you. It's the belief inside of you that prompts you to act. You believe the words of Christ. He compared those to a wise man who built his house on the rock, which stood firm through the rain, the floods, the slamming winds. And the many are represented here by those who hear the words of Christ and are not prompted to act. Why? They don't believe it. There is no belief to prompt them to act. They don't believe it. Jesus compares those to the foolish man who built his house on the sand, which upon the coming of rain, floods, and slamming winds, it fell, and it's great, and great was its fall. On Judgment Day, all of us will most certainly be in one of those two groups, the many or the few. And not collectively, but individually. As we read in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now the question is, will you be in the group with the many, or those who claim to be Christians, calling Jesus Lord, as you begin to list the things you've done in his name, only to be cast into outer darkness, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, or will you be in the group with the few, who sought after the truth, found it in the words of Jesus, prompting you to act like wise men, and humble obedience to his will, which is summarized by Paul in his letter to Titus, where he says, for the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. I thought this would be a worthwhile lesson tonight because sometimes we just need to think about our faith. We need to stop and examine ourselves and examine where we fall in this picture. On Judgment Day, which group am I in? And that's a question we should ask each day. Every day we draw a breath. What group am I in? If God comes today, if Jesus appears in the sky today, and that's the last day, and there's no second chances. What group am I in? Am I going to be found to be obedient? Am I going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in? Or am I going to hear, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness? Something we should all ask ourselves each day. The gospel message is that we need to hear it. Hearing it, we must believe it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must repent of our sins. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's Luke 13, verse 3. We must confess His name before men. We read that in Romans 10, verse 10. We must be baptized into Christ. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Peter also told those on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we must be faithful until death. That means every single day we put on Christ again. We ask ourselves these questions each day. Am I in the few, or am I in the many? And hopefully we'll all be in the few. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight, if you've accepted that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you'd like to confess His name before men and be baptized into Christ, we can do that tonight. If you have done that before and you've fallen away and turned your back on the Lord and would like the prayers of the congregation, you can do that tonight and ask for the prayers, and we'd be happy to pray with you and for you. And won't you come forward as we stand and as we sing.